Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listener. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. Today, with the pleasure of speaking with Narielle Morrison, who is an honorary clinical research fellow at the University of Warwick and an MSc student in medical education at Oxford University. Narielle and her colleagues have a paper coming out in the April 2024 issue of Medical Education entitled Bridging the Gap, Understanding the Barriers and Facilitators to Performance for Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic Medical Students in the United Kingdom. Narielle, thanks for making the time for this. I know it's been a busy week, but glad that we got together.
Thank you very much for having me, Kevin.
First of all, congratulations. I understand that not long after this podcast is released, you'll be receiving a prize from ASME for your work in this area. Do you mind by just starting to tell people about your general research interests and what led to that honor?
So I have an interest in equality, diversity, and inclusion. I think in the US, it's also called diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I've recently received an ASME prize for my proposal in cultivating EDI leaders in medical education.
Congratulations. It's important work, obviously, and very well deserved, given what I've read of your work so far. And this particular paper is really focused on the issue that many will have heard about of differential attainment. But I imagine not everybody's fully aware of what that means or what the evidence suggests. Can you just spell out for us how you think of differential attainment and what you've seen that made this a priority area for you?
So for me, I focus on differential attainment by ethnicity, and that's whereby medical students and doctors from racially minoritized backgrounds on average attain or are awarded lower than their white counterparts. There are different versions of differential attainment, and I think now we are moving towards the awarding gap. So we've moved from understanding this potentially isn't a student deficit problem, and that there are multiple different factors that lead to students from racialized backgrounds to be awarded lower grades.
And that obviously has been highly deserving of a lot of attention, and there's been quite a bit of research into the issue. What was the gap that you thought needed to be filled? What did you find missing from that literature that led you to believe more work should be done?
Yes. So in 2019, I undertook a earlier qualitative study, and I was looking into the barriers of learning and performance. Unfortunately, that was only in one single medical school. However, that did highlight that there were various different factors that students felt were contributing towards them actually achieving and performing lower than they felt they should be. This paper in particular identified various different factors, such as the relationships within the medical institution, such as those relationships with their peers, staff, and clinicians. They felt that they had a lack of trust within the institution, and they also experienced negative patient experiences, and this acted as barriers to their learning as well as performance. Students also reported that there were psychosocial and identity factors, including a reduced sense of self, identity masking and stereotypes, and a lack of understanding of their cultural differences, which impacted on their learning and achievement. There were also findings that there were racism, which were pervasive throughout their educational journey, and that also impacted on their learning and performance.
All critical issues and useful insights. Let me just back up one step to make sure that anybody listening who hasn't seen the paper already sort of knows what led you to those observations. So one of the unique aspects of this study is its mixed methods methodology, not unheard of in medical education, but still relatively rare. How did you gather data for this? What were the key strategies for identifying the dimensions of the medical school environment that were impacting upon Black, Asian, and minority ethnic students?
Yes. So for this paper in particular, we recruited nationally. So we recruited within multiple medical schools via the council, which in the UK, which is called the Med Schools Council. They kindly helped me publicize my study and recruit across all four home nations, which enabled students to fill in the questionnaire. So that was the qualitative part of the study. We then asked students to take part in focus groups, and we also used a method called snowball sampling, whereby students who had participated were able to reach out to their peers, and that enabled us to do a qualitative analysis as well.
And you indicate in both your development of the survey and your focus groups that you were informed by a social construction of learning theory. What is that, and how did it impact your thinking about the project from the outset?
Yeah, so social construction of learning posits that learning is not simply an intellectual process that occurs within the learner's mind, but one that is more primarily influenced by social and cultural factors, and it's shaped by the environment, culture, and social interactions. So this cultural and social setting is not only a location of where the learning takes place, but it's where knowledge and identities are also constructed. And so when we then went into developing this study, we had that in mind. And we then went to look into the various different dimensions within the medical school environment to enable us to see whether or not there were various different barriers to learning and performance.
And if I can now come back to the list that you just offered and focus on the positive for the first step, you indicated supportive relationships were a facilitator for achievement and learning. What sort of supportive relationships were you able to explore, or were there any particular details that your participants offered about what enabled relationships to be truly supportive?
Yeah, so with this particular study, the supportive relationships that participants identified were their relationships with their peers, so finding allies amongst their friendship groups. They also highlighted the fundamental supportive relationships with faculty and staff, as well as clinical faculty members. They found that they were able to find role models with academic and faculty members. They also found mentors. And they also were enabled to get pastoral support within the wider faculty teams.
Anything in terms of implications for how others might use that observation? Do you have any insights, or even if it's just speculation, about how to enable people to find those relationships if they're not finding them more readily?
Yeah, so one thing that multiple medical schools now in the UK are creating, and we have created this at the University of Warwick, mentoring schemes. So there are various different types of mentoring schemes. One thing that we've found beneficial over the last 5 years is our peer mentoring scheme, where racially minoritized older peers who are in higher cohorts mentor the first year students. We found that to be particularly beneficial as they are able to give insights into various different experiences that their peers are maybe experiencing, and they're able to give near peer advice as well. So that's been very beneficial. Also, things such as having EDI champions, whereby students know that there are particular members of staff or faculty who are able to either provide specialist support and targeted student support, or even just be a sounding board, really, being quite virtual as well. And I know then some other medical schools in the UK have also done reverse mentoring, which I'm currently looking into as to developing a scheme similar to that within our institution. So there are various different types of support mechanisms that I think could be beneficial, but in particular, the peer support I think is incredibly beneficial.
And is that the strategy that you're prioritizing for breaking down some of the barriers that you identified as well? And what were the barriers that impeded learning and performance for students in your sample?
Students reported barriers such as having an undiverse medical curricula. Students repetitively highlighted that they tended to only see people that looked like them with pathology or with abnormal or rare clinical presentations. So they felt they couldn't really connect that well to the curricula that they were learning. And it impeded that sense of belonging within the institution. They also felt that they didn't actually have clear reporting mechanisms so that if anything did occur, they didn't know who they actually could speak to and what would be done about it. And personal struggles such as mental health issues and financial issues, they also highlighted. I just would like to point out this study was actually undertaken during the COVID-19 pandemic, and therefore, for particular groups of people, there seemed to appear to be more barriers within this demographic of students.
And some of those barriers I can imagine being helped by the mentorship scheme that you were describing, especially with respect to reverse mentoring, so to speak, helping the faculty and others appreciate what these students are going through. Some of them also sound like they require some higher level administrative intervention. Is that starting to play out in your setting or in the UK more generally, that these curricula are becoming more diverse?
Yes, I would say so. I would say our General Medical Council, who governs the main curricula of medical school education in the UK, have identified actually that EDI is an important part of the medical school curricula, and they've identified that students in particular, as well as doctors, may need additional support to enable them to succeed in their careers. And through their quality assurance reporting system, they've asked whether or not medical schools are undertaking student support strategies such as buddy systems, reverse mentoring, and mentored schemes.
And those who wish to be allies to push that movement even further or more rapidly, what can they best do to lend a hand?
Yeah, so I would suggest if you have at your medical school higher level working groups that may be focusing on inclusive education to get involved in that, to help encourage students to undertake projects such as these to enable them to highlight any other barriers or facilitators that they may be experiencing within their institution and just act as an EDI champion. I think it's incredibly important for allies to assist the wider faculty. I think sometimes being a black female myself, sometimes I do feel a minority tax, and I think it's really, really good if we have allies that help carry that burden with us.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And whether it's for a formal research project or not, I imagine undertaking something very similar to what you did would help people get some clarity about what's happening in their place and give some more guidance as to how to best intervene.
Yeah.
And so without asking you to give away what the next thing is for you and ways to cause problems, so where do you see the research in this area going? What do you think is the highest priority?
I think the highest priority is actually undertaking interventions and evaluating them and seeing whether they work. I think training is fundamentally important. So that's allyship or active bystander training or microaggressions training. I think that's incredibly important and increasing awareness of the barriers and facilitators, but in particular, the barriers that individuals like myself and racially minoritized students face. I also think that research into students' perceptions as to what they require for targeted student support within their learning trajectory would also be beneficial.
That sounds like a wonderful place for us to end as a further encouragement to enable others to pick up this work. And certainly glad to hear that you're continuing it yourself through that prize from ASME and your other activities. So thank you for doing the work. Thank you for sharing it with our listeners and our readers. And those who want more detail, I'll just remind them that they can find the paper in April 2024 of Medical Education under the title Bridging the Gap, Understanding the Barriers and Facilitators to Performance for Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic Medical Students in the United Kingdom. Nerial Morrison is the first author whose voice you've been listening to. And Nerial, very, very grateful that we had this chance to talk, and I look forward to hearing what comes next.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.